Good morning. Thank you for listening to the Seeds of Truth. It's so good to have you in our listening audience, and it continues to be my prayer and desire that these studies are beneficial to each one. If you have a question that you would like to discuss, please drop us a line. You can do that by mail at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester, Virginia, 23836, or by accessing our website at rmcoc.com, or by phone at 804-530-1764. And we would be more than happy to study any matter with you that you so desire. Now to our study for the morning. Your speaker is Robert Swain. In Isaiah 53:3, the scripture reads, "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." Now this passage was written some 800 years before Christ came upon the scene in the form of the flesh, and yet we look at his life and we see him crucified, nailed to a cross, between two thieves, not for some crime which he had done nor law that he had broken. Those people committed a terrible crime. They killed the Son of God. And so Peter acclaims in Acts 2:22-24, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by many works and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, even as ye yourselves know, him being delivered up by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of." His whole life was one of being despised and rejected. And at the end, he stood alone before Pilate. Even his own chosen apostles denied him. Yet today, people are just as guilty as they were at that time. Oh, they would not be so callous as to drive nails into his hands and feet. And yet, in many ways, they despise and reject the Son of God. Someone may ask, in what way can we despise and reject Christ? Well, first, Christ's authority is rejected by many. In Matthew 28:18, we read, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth." You see, he has all authority because he is King. He is Lord, yea, the Son of God. Peter states in Acts 3:22-23, "Moses indeed said, a prophet shall the Lord God rise up unto you from among your brethren like unto me. To him shall ye hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hearken to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." At the Mount of Transfiguration, the booming voice from heaven stated, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Matthew 17:5. And yet, in spite of all these verses, people have come along and set up various rules of authority. Some admit that they make God's laws. Some accept the creeds and the disciplines and the manuals written by men. Others accept the decrees of conferences and associations and synods. Many accept the customs of those before them. Some have set up the church as their authority. And on we might go. And as a result, all of these, man has in most places set aside the authority of Jesus Christ. The authority of Christ came from his Father in heaven. He then promised the apostles that they would be guided into all truth by the revelation given through the Holy Spirit. Hear Christ as he speaks in John 16:13. Open up your Bibles and read with me. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come." What Christ is saying is that whatever the Father desired them to know and to do would be revealed to them through the Holy Spirit. These men, thus guided by the Spirit, wrote these things in the book we call the Bible for following generations to have. And by God's providence, that message has come to us through what